Welcome to Unknown Artist. I'm your host, Nikki E. Taylor, and you're listening to episode 11 with Mars on the Harp.
Walking down the street, I can still feel the weight of your head as you sleep. Pressed into my shoulder, I cave to the grief and the fire that smoldered in me every time that we dared to. To uncover all the beauty that we are when we turn up our cheeks at each other. Pressed in and pressed under, broke down and in wonder at everything found when we gave ourselves up, curling and bending and living and sending our roots while we shiver and tingled to touch. We reached to disrobe.
Fissures that open deep down. The harp just rings forever.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So first of all, amazing song. How new is that song? How old is that song?
That song is about a year and a half old.
Nice.
A peu près. Yeah.
It's a good age for a song.
Yeah, 18 months. It's the cutest age of a human, too, I think. You know, it's just like kind of getting a personality. You can't really make words. Walking around all wobbly. Super cute.
Though this song makes words. Yes. The words in the song are like very carefully chosen, very like particular words.
Yeah.
How do you choose the words that you put in your songs?
This song is a really interesting example. This song is really fun that way because the chorus I made up in 5 minutes singing to a cat. Like, you're an orange kitty. You're a lion. You are a lion. Don't lie. But think, it's because what she did is she tricked me into feeding her a second breakfast. The next day it was classic back at it. Move. Classic cat move. Total pro. And the next day she comes back with the same move. And I was like, you're not going to get me again. And I just, I was so inspired by her audacity that I had to sing it to her. She's also a very vocal cat. She's like, meow. So I was like, you know, maybe like trying to meet, you know, match her vocal energy. And so I just started singing like, you're a lion. And she was like, meow. You know? Like, so that's how I came up with those words. And then, the rest of these words were, I worked on a lot. They were a poem.
Mm-hmm.
And they were separate from the chorus for a long time. And then I realized they were about a similar feeling of just being lied to. What happened with this song is I feel like the chorus about this lying cat helped me to like feel softer about that person in particular and be like, well, the cat is only lying because she's just afraid that she's not going to get fed. Do you know what I mean? Like, she wants a second breakfast. This other person wanted a second breakfast, to put it politely. Do you know what I mean? And it's
like,
and it's like, you don't, it comes from fear, and it's cute. Do you know what I mean? Like, these, like, you know, and I was going to say these human bodies, but that was a cat body, like, having needs. And, you know, if we have hurt and fear, like, it can cause us to do strange things sometimes.
Oh, absolutely.
And I've lied, you know? I've lied about how many breakfasts I've had. like, you know, so I think in singing the song a lot, and it's such a catchy tune, and other people think it's cute, and, like, I get people to sing along to it with me at my shows, and
I sang along to it.
Yeah, I almost, like, in the last person, I was like, oh, this is so weird to have someone here and, like, not singing.
Oh, but it was nice to close my eyes, and I just, like, fell into it. It was nice.
Yeah. But it's definitely, I don't have too many sing-along tunes, but it definitely is one, and I'm singing it a lot. It's helped me really, like, forgive that moment. And also, you have to forgive yourself, because I think when somebody is kind of omitting the truth, or, like, lying by omission, or kind of bending the truth, I think we always know, so we kind of have to lie to ourselves a bit to be lied to.
I think so, yeah.
Is not always. Sometimes people, like, blatantly trick you, and that's different, but in this situation, like, what this song is about, like, I definitely had to go through a period of, like, forgiving myself and be like, what was I lying to myself about?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where was I not, like, looking at the truth, like, the truth? I also joke that the song is written by my Scorpio moon. Like, yeah, everyone's like, don't lie to a Scorpio. And they're like, don't lie to me. Like, but it's more of like when I first was singing it beforehand, it was like, don't lie to me, don't lie to me. But like now when I sing, I'm like, don't lie to me, kitty. Like, that's, you know what I mean? Yeah, so my album is going to be a digital-only release.
Mm-hmm.
So I have an artist, Aoife Baldwin-Marr, is designing like a poster that is gonna be sold with download codes as like the album, because I think that that's my favorite part of an album purchase is like the art, and I think something we've lost in these smaller plastic CD tape formats is like the big vinyl art.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be like an 11 by 17 or something like that poster. So you get that like art experience with the music, but like, because I don't want to print CDs or tapes because it's a toss up to who has a player for what.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in people's cars is kind of the only thing, but a lot of people use their phone in their car now.
Yeah.
So that's the plan. And then as an accompaniment, I'm making a lyric zine.
Nice.
And it's going to have some of my photography, some art. I'm gonna include maybe photographs around the time that the songs were written, but without too much explanation, just to give sort of like a visual context. And then I've done, yeah, some collage work. So it's like 40 pages or something like that.
What? That's like a book.
It's like a zine book. Yeah. And so I hope printing is, yeah, not gonna be too complex, but so yeah, that'll be the album, the recommended package is the zine.
Yeah.
with the art and I think just to like take in someone else's perspective on your vision is like a really valuable thing, and I mean that's just what I was gonna say in collaboration, but that is just what collaboration is.
Yeah.
And yeah, this album project is making me really appreciate how vital collaboration is. Like, not only just because it's fun and exciting and it gives your project verve, but it's also like you need support.
Absolutely.
Like, you can't do it alone. You can't do anything creative alone, you know? You need that community around you in different, like, levels, but just also being people creating with you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's, like recently I was a part of Something Lighter. They did a show at Diving Bell, and that was a real community show where it was like all these musicians that have been performing together and alongside with my friend Lily, who was the visual artist of the night, and her art was up, and she's been a huge influence on all of those musicians. And they've influenced her as well, so it's really great to have that connection with so many different artists.
Yeah, and it's beautiful to see and acknowledge, like, you know, I wish I could do every type of art. I wish I was good at everything. You know, I love dance. Like, I'd love to be a dancer. But it's also beautiful to be like, okay, well, no, I've spent the time to do this. And when you appreciate, like, this being music, and when you appreciate that other art, you take your music to a dancer, and they're like, wow, I really appreciate your music, and you can actually see that, like, other people's talent can support yours, and make up those sides of yourself that maybe are weaker. Yeah, actually, speaking of collaboration, my friend Chloe, who is known for her project North, is mixing and was a recording engineer on my album, but also like we collaborate sort of on a musicianship level as well, so it's been really valuable to seek out people that have like a similar approach to their music and their art and a similar outlook and like aesthetic, but like what's a deeper word for aesthetic, you know, like a
paradigm.
Yeah. I'm just like it's just the woods, you know, people who just their hearts are in the woods. I don't know, I in nature, and I mean I only see the woods because that's the nature that I'm familiar with, and I'm from BC mostly in my life, so the woods, you know, on the edge of the ocean, like I can't imagine anything more beautiful than that. But yeah, no, Chloe is from Montreal and is really connected to the landscape in this part of the world. And we actually recorded the album in a chalet in the woods, so...
Nice.
It was interesting to connect back to that, but, like, in the region that I am in now and I'm collaborating in. And, yeah, to jump in a lake instead of the ocean and try to put your feet down where you are.
Mm-hmm. Feel the space.
Yeah. It's a beautiful part of the world. It's a beautiful, like, I love the winter. I love the drama of everything being covered and then being violently uncovered and salty and, like, it's dramatic. Like,
it's
the weather
dramatic.
Here is very dramatic, and it's only getting more dramatic. But, yeah, weather absolutely influences art.
Absolutely. Yeah. I find I do a lot of my writing, especially the sad songs, in
yeah.
winter.
Yeah. It's true. I can mark that too, like, and it seems like a almost obvious, but yeah, like, if you think about, the seasons as, like, times, and what nature does is, and how that reflects in a human experience, like, looking out and blooming in the spring and enjoying and growing and expanding in the summer, and then harvesting and collecting and counting and preparing, but also celebrating in the fall. I love the fall. It's like, maybe my favorite.
I find the fall is a very electric time.
Yeah.
It's just buzzing constantly, but, like,
yeah.
in a very relaxed kind of way.
Yeah,
yeah.
Comfort.
Yeah.
It's like the taking stock and I love it.
And it's like the last big, like, oh my god, we have to do everything now because winter's coming.
Yeah. And then winter is the time where you're indoors and you're, you know, making everything that you need for tools for the summer, but you also turn inward,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And look in. And I knew I really needed this past winter, and I was almost saying to people I didn't want it to end because I wanted, part of me wants to look in, just turn and look inside forever, because
mm-hmm.
it's kind of a safe place for me when you don't have to worry about how you're carrying out and carrying forward. You're just reflecting and dissecting, and I could get lost in there forever, but you can't stay there forever. Like,
are you someone who analyzes a lot of things?
Maybe. Yeah. Probably. But, like, self-analysis is super, super safe in a way. It can also be really scary, but it's also just private, you know? The privacy
yeah.
of the winter.
Mm-hmm.
But once, you know, spring comes in Montreal and it's never too soon, right? Like, I was like, oh no, I'm worried about spring, and I was saying this in February, and people are just looking at me like, okay. You know, like, that snow. Do you remember
that
snow in April?
I would definitely be angry at you if you told me I don't want spring to come in February.
What's wrong with you?
But no, you're allowed to love winter. That's fine.
Yeah. No, well, I did this year. I don't know if I will this year. I don't think I'll love this coming winter as much. Maybe a little bit more. But that's something that I've done with this album is I've looked at, like, this album is called Music for the Moon. And it's named after a collection of 6 songs that make up the first, I think what'll be the first half of this album. But then the album is gonna be 12 songs in total, like the 12 moons in the year, with a poem in the middle, which is 13, because old moon calendars were
mm-hmm.
13
mm-hmm.
moons of a year. And yeah, I've tried to sort of search through, like, my family's heritage in Celtic and Eastern European names for the moons of the year, and then tried to, like, match kind of the moon of the year to a song.
Okay.
And that's not necessarily, like, where in the year I wrote that song, but, like,
but maybe thematically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and the song, the 6 songs of the first half were originally called The Circle Cycle. And I named them that because I've been singing a bunch of classical music song cycles, which is just what collections of songs are called. But then circle cycle sort of has a secondary meaning of just being about those, like, cyclic patterns in life. And, like, for me, it used to frighten me when you, like, witness a pattern in yourself or in your life. You're like, oh, spooky, weird. Oh, I thought it was over. What? And I think, yeah, since writing and living with this material over the past 3-ish years, I've gotten a lot more like, oh, hey, hey, cycle. it's okay. Yes. Because, like,
I just, see you. I recognize.
Yeah, it's natural and it's natural in nature. What a silly. These capitulations are like necessary because we can't take it all in at once and be done, right? And it's like the seasons, which is why I just rattle on about the seasons for so long, I guess. It's because, yeah, it's about this like looped nature of time.
Do you want to play another song?
Yeah, I do. This one, I'm going to play the Moon song.
Yeah.
It's called Moon. It originally was the end of the circle cycle. I wrote that poem on a BC ferry.
Nice.
And I was delayed. It was like an hour delayed. And we were so tired. But I went out and looked at the moon and reflected. We were on our way back home from my friend Ava's beautiful, beautiful wedding in Lloydminster, Saskatchewan/Alberta. It's this town on the border of Saskatchewan and Alberta. And weddings are great. it's the greatest type of celebration, you know? It's just celebrating life and love, and I just think about that wedding, and I just feel like witnessing that love between Ava and her husband Joel was like, it just opened me up. And yeah, the moon on the ocean, I mean, what else is there? I don't know. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And you know when you're so tired sometimes and just the greatest stuff comes out?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Not often. Also sometimes the opposite. The opposite, where you're just like, have the strangest fight with someone or something. You're like, but then sometimes, yeah, you're just in that mood, in that.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of like a different state of consciousness almost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're connecting with things in a different way. Things are more relaxed.
For a while, I had a hard time finding the moon in Montreal, like in the city.
Yeah, well, it's difficult in a city because there's so much light pollution, but then there's also tall buildings that make it difficult to, like, see it. But in Montreal, sometimes I get turned around. And especially in Verdun.
Oh my goodness, yeah, Verdun's like it's like one of those ball games where you tilt the world and you're just the ball and you're like, yeah, something about coming out of De l'Église Metro and you're just like, yeah. And also I think it plays with us too that our north is not north, it's quite northwest.
Definitely, everything is very much tilted.
Yeah. Maybe we can sense this on some level.
Yeah, maybe do you think maybe it affects us here in Montreal, being slightly off kilter?
Not everyone just lives in their own sense of northwest, north, south, east, west. Totally. I mean, it's, yeah, so it's like, if I'm looking out the front of our apartment right now, I'm like, east, right? Because we're like near St. Catherine Street. But I'm looking quite northeast.
Yeah, there's a definite angle to where the sun is hitting.
The sun rises in what the grid would call like the south,
mm-hmm.
east.
Mm-hmm.
Like north is over there. I'm pointing. Yeah, it's no. I try. You have to not think about it. You have to lie to yourself. But then the light is off. Yeah, I think it messes with us. We're all doomed. We'll never find our way again.
Or maybe that's why we're all so creative.
Yeah, you're just scrambling, you're at a loss.
We're all just lost, trying to figure it out.
Yeah. It's a great place to be lost. It's a great place to try things.
Yeah. It's a great place to get lost. Yeah.
Yeah, I love going to a new place. There's always parts of the city I forget about too. Yeah, if that song was written on a BC ferry, and then the first one I sang was mostly written in Montreal, I wrote this one on Saturna Island.
Where is that?
Saturna Island is is in between what we call Vancouver Island and the mainland of British Columbia. In the Salish Sea, and there's an arbitrary border in the water between American quote-unquote islands and Canadian ones, and Saturna is the southeasternmost, so the border wraps around the eastern edge, and like your cell will switch service if you drive halfway through the island. And you can see, like, you can go up to the mountain and watch the fireworks on the 4th of July. It's the most thinly populated out of the five islands that are called the Southern Gulf Islands, BC. There's about a 300, maybe 325 now, full year population. And I lived there for a year and a half, and it changed my life. It was the first time I lived, like, rurally. And yeah, that community, like a lot of those people are personally responsible for my gall to pursue my music professionally, because everyone just finds out everything about you and they're like, oh, well, you're a musician and you're trained, well, do a concert. And I was like, well, we'll see.
Okay.
But I mean, here we are in Montreal.
And you're doing it.
And I'm doing it. Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Saturna. I owe a lot to Saturna. And not just the people, but the nature there, too. It was, like, a very healing growth period. And yeah, I actually wrote this song, and this is one of my quick songs. Like, I just wrote it while I was playing it, and I wrote it actually on a guitar. Yeah, well, I won't say too much more about it. I'll just play it. Let me see. From you, actually, I was gonna say, like, especially after the first song, like, do you experience that when you're playing, like, you can feel people's attention?
Yeah,
sure. And your attention was very, like, grounded, consistent, and calm, and I was like, it's really nice, like, it's really nice to play for you. I don't know if other
professional
people... Professionalism. Yeah! Seriously. It's a skill, it is.
And actually, I could probably say I am a professional listener. I have a lot of training in active listening.
Oh, great! That's so cool. So cool.
Yeah. You were talking about how you wrote this on guitar.
Yeah.
And then you switched to harp. How is it different writing on different instruments and playing them?
I, yeah. I now am spending, I mean, I haven't really been in a writing phase in a while. I've been working on this album for quite a while, and that's more like an editing, but I definitely, a lot of these songs were like solo voice first, not necessarily the ones I played for you today, but, well, no, actually Moon was, and actually so was Lion Lion, this one not, but yeah, I've often written with voice and then come to the harp later. And I used to write on guitar a lot. I used to kind of dabble in both guitar and piano and switch back and forth and not be that great at either. And then I always say that the harp is kind of the in-between. It's like notes in a row like a piano, but the strings like a guitar. The string warmth of a guitar. And I just find it really intuitive to play, and I just fell in love with it, as a lot of people do. It's very... I don't want to seem seductive. Like, I don't want to give it, like, a... I don't want to, like, be weird about it. But, like, it's, like, it has this beautiful shape and...
Yeah, and, like, the way that you hold it to play it, you're, like, hugging it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you can't not.
Yeah, you have to hug it. Yeah. And it's an old instrument. It's really old. Like,
yeah.
Lyres and harps are ancient.
Oh, I thought you meant this particular one.
Oh, no. This one's, yeah, not quite a decade
but
old.
Yeah, harps are very old.
They really are the piano, right? Like, if you look inside a piano, you know this probably, but the predecessor of the piano is the harpsichord, because you literally took a harp and then took plucking...
With little mallets.
Yeah, well, the harpsichord was first, and the difference in the sound, like, the harpsichord is like, bow! Is because the hammers are actually plucking the strings.
Oh, that's an interesting difference.
Yeah, and then the pianoforte came after, and you could control the volume better because it's the hammers, and the keys are more sensitive. Because you don't have to, like... I mean, you can control volume in a harpsichord, but it's a less subtle sound.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it literally is a piano. But, you know, more diatonic. This isn't a pedal harp. It's not an orchestral pedal harp where you can... play more easily, more chromatically. I used to find that, like, my songs had different character depending on the instrument I played them on. Yeah, because the instrument you go to has a color and a mood. And, I mean, that mood was, like, at the point where I was living, I didn't have my harp in my home with me because I was living in a 10 by 10 cabin. And my harp was living at the community church. So, like, I had the guitar in the cabin, and and I had the night to myself, and I was having the feelings, and I just, you know, grabbed the guitar, and music's so alive.
It really is, and I find, like, how you sound one day is going to be so different from how you sound another because of the emotion, because of how you've been treating yourself and, you know, what you do, how you're warming up your voice, how you're taking care of it, and how you grow as a human.
I think it's totally, like, I don't know if I hadn't become a quote-unquote singer. I don't know where I would be in the world. Like, I don't know how I would move through the world, because it's absolutely transformed how I, like, have been able to center in my person, in my body.
Yeah.
Like, in my voice, in my body, in my physical space. What a gift to sing any song to.
Yeah, thank you for singing to me.
Thank you for listening. Thank you. I mean, I've heard it. I'm always grateful.
Thanks for listening to Unknown Artist. Come back next week for my interview with Carlisle Evans Peck.